Willamette Greenway. And while the greenway is the bare minimum of 25 feet path along that greenway, that greenway is much smaller sometimes and as narrow as 13 feet. On the south waterfront, planners had the foresight to preserve the greenway park light setting for hundreds of feet from tall construction, so those enjoying the waterfront would not be overwhelmed by looming buildings. We have the direct opposite with the Fremont Apartments proposal. It will literally cast a shadow over the walkway during the summer hours. I understand that the size of this parcel cannot support a dedication of 100 feet or more of the WIPs devoted to the Willamette Greenway. That is why every foot given over to development is so important. The developer received a modification allowing it to add 30.9 feet of depth to the building. That is 30.9 feet that would have been devoted to making the Willamette Greenway a more viable public space. This modification does nothing to enhance the waterfront. In fact, it does the opposite. The actual 13-foot width of the path in some places will make it dangerous for cyclists and pedestrians walking in tandem to pass one another without risk of a collision. In addition, the new Central City Code will require a 50-foot setback, meaning that the Fremont Apartment Project will extend 25 feet further towards the Willamette River than all the new construction in that segment of the NATO Parkway, including Centennial Mills. Thus, it will continue to be a bottleneck and stick out like a sore thumb. The Fremont Apartment proposal should be rejected. I thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Christina Del Rosario. I'm a retired nurse. We moved to Portland 2.5 years ago after deciding to retire. The parks, trees, access to transportation, walkability, bike lanes, and a sense of community. Portland won our hearts. It has everything to offer to every age group, from infants to seniors. And I'm sure this did not happen without the mindful planning with the builders, investors, and the citizens of the community. And I'm here today to continue to support that legacy. The city is changing at a very fast pace, and as a foot patrol volunteer, I have seen some ugly consequences, but I'm not here to talk about it right now. I'm here today to make sure we continue to work together with the builders, investors, and the citizens of this community to make sure we do not compromise the identity which makes Portland the model for other cities. Let's keep its uniqueness, its beauty, the trees, the parks, access to transportation, walkability, bike lanes, and the trails along the Willamette River so we can continue to enjoy and the future generation of the beauty and uniqueness of our city we call home. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you. My name is Mark Lindau. I have been a physician. I was first in 1976. During this period of time, I felt that this was a very quinky type of a little town. For example, with the founding fathers, there were two different grids. One was going north, direct north. The other was going in the direction of the star, the North Star. It's just different. Now, during the period of time that these fathers went, they visited Europe. During that period of time, they found that there was an amazing park that was going through the cities. As a result, we now have a parking that went from the PSU all the way into Northwest. But unfortunately, one of the founders had died, and he did not have a will. Because of that, now we have four blocks of buildings that is interrupted by the complete park. When I arrived here, I was amazed by the absolute amazement of the tunnel that went into 26 and into downtown. The Mount Hood went framing for that absolute place. In 1992, the coin building was there. Now we get to see the beautiful coin, the mount, instead of the mountain. Gentlemen, that's all I have to say. You've got a clunker.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please.
Are Michael Roberts, Bruce Kaplan, and Michael R. Coates, and they'll be followed by Glenn Traeger, Michael Fole, and Larry Mazur.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
You want to go first?
Sure.
Thanks.
My name is Bruce Kaplan. I've been a resident in the Pearl District for the last 10 years. Portland is a vibrant community in a spectacular location. While we've been blessed with that geography, our livability has been enhanced by the visionary leadership of our city government. When we brag about Portland to others, we often talk about the city having the courage to choose Waterfront Park over Harbor Drive. The foresight to protect Forest Park from residential development and the smarts to convert old warehouses into the Pearl District, a model for cities around the world. We've reached another one of those crossroads. Does a city serve the public better by creating yet another high-rise luxury apartment, or do we decide it's better to prevent the walling off of our waterfront? In 2009, the Project for Public Spaces created a blueprint for cities that envision their waterfronts as destinations to keep people coming back. The project calls its recommendations rules of thumb drawn from 32 years of experience working to improve urban waterfronts around the world. The project goes on to 13 recommendations. I'll mention a few. The first is make public goals the primary objective. When the city considers its waterfront to be a public asset, it's easier to put public goals ahead of financial expediency. Another rule, optimize public access. The accessibility of the waterfront is crucial. Waterfronts with continuous access are much more desirable than ones where public space is interrupted. Massive buildings that almost touch the water are not going to leave much space for folks to enjoy the beauty of the Willamette and its river traffic. Another rule worth mentioning, design and program buildings to engage the public space. The ideal combination is to have both commercial and public uses as opposed to high-rise buildings that physically and psychologically cut off the waterfront from the surrounding neighborhoods. I cite these examples, but I'm sure you're very aware of these. Let's look to the future a little bit. You're taking your family or friends to Fields Park to enjoy the sun, watch children run across the grass, or get a close look at the waterfront. Would you rather say to your family and friends, see how the beautiful arch of the bridge appears over the water? I help protect those laws. Or would you rather say, see those apartment buildings over there? You used to be able to see the arch of the bridge and the waterfront, but I voted to allow these buildings to be constructed. I hope I know what your answer will be. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Oh, hello. My name is Michael Roberts. I live in the Pearl at the Sitka. I live in, I am the manager of the Pearl Foot Patrol. In October 2017, I was elected to serve on the Pearl District Neighborhood Association Board. My comments today are as an individual, not representing the board. My testimony will focus on an email exchange that you have in front of you. It was an exchange between TVA architects and the entire PDNA board. It occurred December 27, the day of the PDNA board voting on whether to appeal and file the appeal. TVA seems to be frustrated with the Democratic checks and balance processes of PD&A committees and the board. The emails turn from frustration to, in my mind, intimidation with comments like, one, this type of appeal will serve to reduce your ability as a neighborhood to have a voice in upcoming development in the Pearl. Two, the result, I believe, of appealing a project like this will be that the future projects will skip the PD&A altogether, which will greatly lessen your voice on development in your own neighborhood. Three, neither of these conditions not being met, has merits as an appealable item, so your appeal will only serve to delay the project by a couple of months. Four, it is likely to cost members of the design team, TVA's design team, their jobs. And five, it will also come at the expense of the goodwill between your group and the development community in general. This is not neighborly, nor, in my opinion, an acceptable way to talk to representatives of a community. I have heard people say that they are afraid of the development community in Portland, and there is nothing citizens can do to stand up for them. I have a different opinion than that of the development community. Don't I have a right to express it? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, how you doing? My name is Michael Coates. I'm a citizen. I had a bunch of great points to talk about, but everybody else has brought them up and said them better than I ever could. Except I haven't heard one very important thing. This project is a Trojan horse, and once it gets in our gate, it's over. Developers are buzzing around seeing this will be approved or not, because that big, ugly wall that was shown so graphically well on this slideshow, it'll happen. And, of course, as politicians, you know how unpopular it is to build walls these days, right? And I hope that you understand what's important here is not the view of a bridge. That's not what it's about. It's not even about this building. It's about the riverfront future, as been stated, of the city of Portland for its citizens and its visitors. And it's the access. If that gets blocked, we're in real trouble. So this vote is much, much bigger. Your vote is going to have a big, big impact on the future for all of us. And all I ask is that you think very carefully, please. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to remind everybody, great points, but we are serving in the capacity of a hearing. And so what we are actually doing here is looking narrowly at the appeal and the appeal process and the decisions that were made by the Design Review Commission. I just want to be very, very clear that in our role as a hearings body today, we are very prescribed in terms of what we are looking at. That's not to invalidate your point, but I just want people to be very clear about what it is we are doing here. I don't know if legal counsel wants to comment on that.
Essentially, counsel is required to look at the criteria for the review and base their decision based on those criteria. And so even if, you know, if they find, I'm not saying this particular proposal, but on a proposal that maybe they don't personally like very much, but they believe that it meets the criteria, they're obliged to approve it if it meets the criteria. So again, not saying anything about this particular application, but.
Yeah, I wanted people to be very clear about what role we are playing here today as a city council.
Since I left a minute and 59 seconds, I may have a couple more.
Sure,
but
it's your time.
Also, Yes, it's about the specifics, but don't forget the specifics are there to support an overall livability and philosophy of what we're doing here in the city of Portland and in the Pearl. So it all goes together, in my opinion. But that's just my viewpoint. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you all. Next three, please.
Next three are Glenn Traeger, Michael Fold, and Larry Mazur. And they'll be followed by Christy Nash, Demersmuch, and Melanie Yo.
Good afternoon, sir. Why don't you start us off?
Good afternoon. My name is Glenn Traeger, and I'm a board member of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association and a member of its Planning and Transportation Committee. I became actively involved in a Fremont apartment at the end of last year when I found this project would encroach upon the Willamette River Greenway by building a high-rise apartment building within a few feet of the Greenway path. I'm an active user of the Greenway and could not believe the Design Commission would give away a 175-foot by 30-foot strip of riverfront property to a developer. The encroachment of the Greenway buffer is a result of modifications requested by the Fremont Apartments and should be denied. The Greenway and its adjacent buffer should be reserved for the enjoyment of the public as mandated in the Central City Plan. I ask the City Council to do two simple things. Just follow the Central City Plan. The Pearl did not become one of the best neighborhoods in the country by chance. It took hundreds of hours of dedicated effort from Portland residents, city officials, and land developers to establish guidelines for its development. The Pearl Plan, the River District Plan, the North Pearl Plan, and the Central City Plan were all created out of this effort. It is important that the Fremont Apartments follow existing land use plans, since it's important. It will be an important element in the large stage of future development along the Willamette River. Secondly, please listen to the citizens in this room, to the citizens at our town hall, and to the hundreds of citizens who signed our petition at the Fields Park on a cold winter weekend and approved the Pearl District Neighborhood Association appeal of the Fremont Apartments. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Larry Mazur. Modification number 5 gives the developer an extra 30.9 feet of building room that directly encroaches on the Greenway. I sat through numerous Design Commission hearings and had numerous discussions with staff. I can tell you that those folks are dedicated and well-meaning, but they are also overwhelmed with the construction boom in this city. As a result, Parks and Recreation only got involved in this process a few days before the final vote. I know this for a fact, because I testified before the commission in November and pointed out that the width of the Greenway Walk was far less than the standard set out by Parks and Rec. Staff for the commission did contact staff for the parks for Parks and Recs after my testimony. Parks and Recreation finally got a chance to weigh in via a letter dated December 15, 2017, and I've attached that for you to see. While the letter addresses the width of the revised walkway, it is silent on the 30.9 feet giveaway to the developer, because that ship had already sailed. This was an egregious mistake. While Parks and Recreation did approve the expanded walkway, it requested that the developer extend out the handrail another few feet towards the river. That shows you how desperate Parks and Rec was to gather as many extra feet as they could. So in summary, the Design Commission was approving a 30.9-foot encroachment on one side of the Greenway when Parks and Recreation was begging for an extra 2 feet on the other side of the Greenway. And that's solely because they weren't involved in the front end. For whatever reason, staff didn't coordinate, and Parks and Rec had no involvement in this process until literally a few weeks before the vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Michael Gould, resident of the Pearl. Thank you very much for this time. Most of my topics have already been covered. I would like to speak to this one, though, as well, is that if you look north of the Fremont Bridge, you see the nice wide expanse ways of walk. If you go down in front of Waterfront Pearl, you see the same thing. The infringement and the pinch that's going to happen there is just there's no continuity to it whatsoever. So to me, it's makes no sense. The other one that hasn't been brought up, and it also helps to going towards mass of this building, is this locker room for bicyclists. Certainly makes sense in a commercial building. I would just definitely agree with that, where people may bike to work, take a shower, and so forth. But this is a residential building, so you're expecting them to put the bike in, come back downstairs, take a shower, and go back up to be able to have additional mass. It's a loophole that's definitely been exploited that I definitely think is it's not even rational. Most all my other points have been made, but I will say this, is that I'm fortunate to work with a number of manufacturers that come into this our beautiful town, all from all over the world. And the great thing is whenever they see the Field Park and they look around and they see the beautiful bridge and they see our river and everything else, it takes their breath away. And I look at this city and I'm proud to be a resident of this city, and I just look at this and say, this, it's like everybody said, this building is just wrong place. So I hope and ask that you just reject this design.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please.
Our Christy Nash, Sorry, I can't read the first name. Demersimich, I believe it's the last name, and Melanie Yeo. And they'll be followed by David Mitchell, John Wurzler, and Roger Leachman.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Christy Nash. I live in the Pearl, and I have no financial impact from this project. But I did want to speak to a little bit of a citizen's experience living in the Pearl. I grew up in the country and did not have paved roads, and I'm just now learning to ride a bike at age 48. And how I did it was in Fields Park. I thank you for that. I rode round and round until at least I'm comfortable going on the waterfront loop that we have, at least on the east side. I always start and end at Fields Park. I get why this park is ranked number 3 for our city, behind Washington Park, and Tom McCall is our first, the dog park, the playground. I even watched the eclipse with 1,000 of my neighbors, all with that majestic bridge as the backdrop. I've learned that this bridge that cost us $82 million is a historically significant bridge with the second largest expanse in the world. And it's in the Library of Congress. They list it as the epitome of high tech. I think our tourism community should be celebrating and promoting this quote. The view from the Fields Park is iconic. As it was mentioned, San Francisco maintained their view corridors. We did not. My route goes north to the waterfront, where I ride on the new boardwalk with its large art sculpture, people fishing, reading books, pushing strollers. Passing all the new development that does have a successful stair-step down plan and a path that is open and I can ride freely without crashing into people. As I mentioned, I'm a new bike rider. Let's not destroy this forever without consideration of what the voter and our communities want and what is right for the reputation of our city. Before you vote, I implore you to please go spend an hour in that park and look up at that bridge. Consider your children's children might someday visit it, and you might be able to say you saved that view, while remembering my words and all of our words today. In closing, it's not too late. My Santa Claus wish would be that we could reconsider and explore preserving that view corridor from the Fields Park to the bridge. But I know the reality is not that. At a minimum, please do not approve the Fremont Apartments allowances for the added height, mass, and altering the waterfront trail plan. The community is counting on your leadership. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Lorraine Demersman, and I own a condo in the Pearl District. Most of what I intended to say has already been said, but I would like to make one short statement. I agree with the opinion of the chair of the Design Commission in her conclusion that the Fremont Apartments' proposed modifications negatively impact the Willamette Greenway and width. Thousands of Portlanders enjoy walking and biking the Pearl waterfront, including myself. I live blocks from the proposed site. I ask that our appeal be considered and the impact of the additional traffic and parking also be considered. It has come to my attention that there are fewer parking spaces than there are units in this proposed project, and I'm alarmed at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Melanie Yu, and I'm a resident of Goose Hollow. And I'd like to present a slightly different perspective today. Let's pretend for a moment and picture a better world where there are laws against developing buildings that would block symbolic structures like the breathtaking Fremont Bridge. And it were the developers who would have to be appealing here today to try and convince the council and mayor in a public setting that a monster building that would forever obliterate the perfect view of the bridge from Fields Park was necessary. What arguments could they possibly present that would make any sense to allow that? First of all, to be clear, I am not against tall luxury buildings per se, just against the location of this one in particular. Instead, the opposite is happening. The reality today for Portland is that beautiful public views are under constant threat by developers, looking to make a quick profit at the expense of people who live and work here. The issue here is the same one we faced with working to protect Mount Hood and Vista Bridge views. We are talking about preserving iconic views and public space in Portland overall. And like the concerns many expressed at that time, the issues are the same. We should give precedence to preserving a public benefit rather than obliterating it forever for the economic benefit of a few. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please.
Are David Mitchell, John Wurzler, and Roger Leachman. And they'll be followed by Judy Duncan, John Gillette, and Brooks Hickerson.
Good afternoon, sir. Why don't you start us off?
Good afternoon. Name is Dave Mitchell. I'm a resident of the Pearl District. I serve on the board of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association, and I chair PDNA's Livability and Safety Committee. As all of you probably well know, having been to the Bay Area, one of the extraordinary assets of San Francisco is its Embarcadero, a three-mile-long stretch of waterfront with virtually unobstructed views of San Francisco Bay, other than old warehouse piers that are in the process of being renovated one by one. Chicago, Illinois has many miles of shoreline on Lake Michigan that are protected against any further high-rise development on the east side of Lakeshore Drive. My childhood hometown of Portland, Maine, has taken major steps over many decades to refurbish and protect its historic port and waterfront from any high-rise buildings that might obstruct views of Casco Bay and its 365 islands. Countless cities across the country have come to realize the symbolic importance of their local rivers as vital resources that serve as a magnet for residents and visitors. Spokane, San Antonio, Pittsburgh, Minneapolis, Memphis, Cincinnati, just to name a few. In San Diego, where my wife and I lived many years before moving to Portland 9 years ago, has vowed never, ever to repeat its egregious mistake of building a wall of three high-rise hotels and a huge convention center right on the edge of San Diego Bay in the 1980s, obliterating views of the bay and Coronado Island unless you happen to be visiting one of the hotels or the convention center itself. Henceforth, any future development on Harbor Drive in San Diego Bay must be set back a significant distance across Harbor Drive from the bayfront to allow all to enjoy the benefits associated with a view of the bay. These examples are just a tiny sampling of American cities, most of which were major industrial centers that formerly treated their rivers or harbors as virtual sewers and as their backyard to be hidden from view. These cities have all come to realize that their rivers and bayfronts are critical assets to be preserved at all costs for all to view and enjoy. From where I sit, Portland has shown great vision in recent decades in recognizing the Willamette River as our version of San Francisco Bay or the Sacramento River. Efforts to beautify the riverfront south of Burnside and extending to the south waterfront are highly commendable and are excellent examples of what should be done with as much of our riverfront as possible. But allowing the Fremont Apartments to be built as presently designed would, in my view, be a terrific blunder for a city that prides itself on enlightened urban planning. Frankly, I can't imagine how any elected or appointed public official who claims to grasp the importance of our river as a symbolic element in our city's DNA could possibly allow this giant structure to go forward as currently configured. In this particular location, it's way too massive, it's way too tall, and it's way too close to the river. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is John Wurzler. I'm a Pearl District resident. I support the Pearl District Neighborhood Association's appeal of the proposed design of the Fremont Place apartment high-rise. I'm against this project for the following reasons. First, the proposed development will obstruct the view of the Fremont Bridge and Fields Park, as already been mentioned. This bridge was designed to be artistic as well as functional. It has become an iconic structure, symbolic of Portland, a city that's divided by the Willamette River but united by its bridges. Obstructing the view by allowing a high-rise construction along the river creates a physical and visual barrier to the Willamette and isolates neighborhoods from this natural resource that is uniquely our own. Second, the developer has discounted the importance of the public greenway in order to maximize the size of the proposed building. Construction along the Willamette River should not be allowed to constrict the public right-of-way along the river like the proposed Fremont Place Apartments project does. Maintaining a public walkway of 18 to 25 feet along the river should be the starting point for any proposal, not an afterthought. Third, a proposed building has been granted excessive height and square footage bonuses based on amenities that are ill-conceived and disingenuous. The result is a building that is too massive and too tall for the lot size. It includes a restaurant with limited parking, a bike locker and shower facilities that are not likely to be used in a residential building, a walkway that pinches pedestrian and bicycle traffic to less than 13 feet, and artwork that is disguised as park benches. And fourth, the proposed building potentially sets an unfortunate design precedent for other development along the Willamette River. Future development along the river, including Centennial Mills, Albert Mills parking lot, and other sites both north and south of the Fremont Bridge, will take their design cue from what is decided about this proposed project. Such a design precedent will create a canyon-like effect along NATO Parkway and Front Avenue and limit access to the river and Greenway. No doubt you've heard from many Portland residents objecting to the proposed project because it obstructs the aesthetic and iconic view of the Fremont Bridge. In closing, I'd like to suggest that the real issue to be addressed is not the view of the Fremont Bridge, but the vision for development along the Willamette River. It's not the view, it's the vision. Please consider your decision on this appeal and keep it open to all of those in connecting our neighborhoods.
Could I ask you a follow-up question? Because you raised some good issues here. So the vision is really encompassed in the base zoning.
Correct.
And the bonus system pre-exists. It factually exists. And so the question isn't for us today, should the bonus system exist, although that is something we could certainly take up at a later date. You mentioned on one of the bonus issues, and I heard somebody else say the same thing, and I was confused when I heard it once, but now that it's been said twice, I need to dig in a little deeper. There's a contention that the bike storage will not be used in a residential building. Could you explain why you believe that to be the case?
So if each of the units has, in fact, been required to have bike storage within their units, who's going to use the bike locker? Who's going to use the downstairs shower facilities? As I think was pointed out, is a loophole that has been exploited by the developer that is typically found in the commercial buildings in the city. In a residential building, doesn't make as much sense.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
That. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Roger Leachman. I'm a resident on Southwest Vista, and I serve on the board of the Goose Hollow Foothills League. I'm here to read a statement by our president, Michael Mahaffey, who could not be present. I'll preface it by saying I believe most all of us in Goose Hollow support our colleagues and neighbors in the Pearl, because for all of us, it's about neighborhoods. With apologies to Robert Frost, good neighborhoods make good cities. As others have argued more cogently than I could, this project does not advance that. It's ironic that they name this thing after the view it destroys. And now I'll read a statement by Michael. Although I am president of Goose Hollow, I write this as an individual and a professional in urban development. I'd like to note that it is unfortunate that the debate around this and other projects has been framed as being about loss of views from private homes, when what is much more important is the loss of iconic views from the public realm and the degrading of our urban commons. More deeply, I think the debate is ultimately about what kind of city we want to become. Should we be a city that surrenders its heritage in an ill-considered rush to address its short-term problems with a simplistic build, baby, build solution? Are we disturbed by the growing uglification of our city? Will we accept the premise, in spite of evidence, that we can't build more housing and preserve the very qualities that make our city so attractive in the first place? Or will we work more diligently to balance developer profits with the wider, long-term interest of the city now and into the future? Will we work to ensure that new construction is easier to build, is more affordable, does not destroy existing affordable stock, does not destroy iconic views or otherwise degrade the public realm, and is as beautiful as the city around it? I think that is the ultimate question. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, all three of you.
Thank you.
Next three, please.
Our John Gillette, Brooks Hickerson, and we'll go with Sally Mize. And they'll be followed by Carol Yarrow, Keith Tellum, and Lawrence W. Erickson.
Good afternoon, sir. Would you like to start?
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Dr. John Gillette, a retired geriatric psychiatrist and a several-year resident of the Pearl District. I'm very interested in the quality of life and opposed to this building project. I previously sent you a picture of a plaque that I found while riding my bicycle on the Selwood Bridge that said City of Bridges, and then listed all of our bridges and talked specifically about the unique aspects of the Fremont Bridge. And as you've heard, some people, due to its public design being this, the bridge of the people. And I've been hearing all the wonderful presentations today. I'm going to limit my comments quite significantly. I did get involved in approaching people at the fields and getting signatures for the protest and this particular appeal. And 98% of the people I talked to were very interested, signed up, etc., and did indeed think that the particular view of the Fremont Bridge and the potential obstruction would be devastating. Likewise, as a bicycle rider, I ride on the greenways, and the proposed restrictions and the shadows and stuff with this project would involve, I think, would be very detrimental and should be avoided. Obviously, any kind of building onto greenway space will mean that it'll never be recovered and available as initially planned. As a bicycle rider and living in a condominium, the fact that they've utilized some of the space to increase the height and building area is a bit disturbing. I occasionally have to take my bike rather than storage in the parking garage, taking it into the apartment. And I can imagine that people having to use the storage in their apartments would be carrying their bicycles up in the elevators and then scratching doors and walls, getting them into the units. Lastly, I think there's concern around, I don't know how much of a concern, but there's, I guess, to be a restaurant in that area, which may be nice, but it seems like about location maybe not the most workable thing, and perhaps just there to change the nature of the building to allow for other modifications. I will close with saying that I am concerned about the slippery slope effect and that other things may be forthcoming that would be further detrimental. Thank you for your consideration.
Sir. Thank you. Good back. Good afternoon.
My name is Brooks Hickerson, and I live close to the Fields Park. I'm there every day. I'm also a member of the PDNA, and I'm also a member of the Friends of Pearl Walking Patrol. I paint outdoors in Portland. Every day I go outside and paint the iconic views of this beautiful city. This is one of the reasons I moved to Portland.
Okay.
And I'm a member of several painting organizations. In the 8 years I've lived here, I've painted hundreds and hundreds of views and dozens of views of the bridge, as well as Centennial Mills, and I oppose the Fremont apartment construction as it's currently proposed, the height proposal and the back from this from the river. I paint along the river all the time. Will be a personal loss to me. It says you can block out these views. You see, I've done it right here in this picture, and you personally are about to vote on something that's about to do this, okay? Or you can limit the development to with the current limits back to what they were originally designed to be. I urge the City Council to stick with the current development limits and not grant the exceptions. I do support the appeal, and I hope you will too. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Sally Mize. I've lived in the Pearl for 7 years as a renter, and I am really a person that is ground level every day, all over the city, up and down both sides, and I'm 100% walker, cyclist, and transit user. So I am out there. I call myself a boots on the ground person. I lead a foot patrol in the Pearl through the livability committee with which I participate, and I love my city, and I'm as a whole, not just the Pearl. And as I'm around it, especially in the walkways, I think of two bridges that are icons, visual icons. One is Tillicum in all its beauty, and thought of protecting all the people, and its relativity to South Waterfront, which has beautifully enhanced the riverfront by keeping low setbacks for the buildings and also adding an absolutely beautiful urban park that connects with trails that already existed for many years. So has the Pearl done that, and we're gradually trying to do that throughout Portland and beyond. But I ask you to think of that and the Tillicum Bridge as the South End icon and the Fremont Bridge as the North End icon. And I walk that at least 3 times a week. And I stopped the other day and looked back from the north end of Fremont Bridge. And if you want to preserve the whole major curve of the Fremont Bridge, look at it from there. They have done residences, completely beautiful setbacks, to exactly and ended them the setbacks and begun their buildings between front and the river so that the whole curve shows. So you've got an immediate north of the iconic Fremont Bridge, and you've got lots of river south of it. Let's protect it for all of us, please. And I invite you as a walker there to come down. I can show you in 30 minutes exactly the problem.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, all three of you. Next three, please.
So, Mayor, before you do that, I don't think we've ever had the privilege of somebody submitting a work of art into the record. If I don't know if he is he willing to part with it. I just wanted to.
I'd like a picture.
Okay.
What if we just took a picture and submitted the photo? So we don't have to take his painting.
So we said no.
We probably can't afford it. It's quite nice.
I could submit the photo into the record.
Okay.
Is that acceptable if we just use
the
photograph?
I think the
of
image
it?
From Commissioner Udaly, if
okay,
she
great.
Gives it to Carla, will be great. Thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Next three, please.
I'm sorry. Carol Yarrow, Keith Tellum, and Lawrence W. Erickson are up now. And they'll be followed by Rod O'Hearley, Kevin Cosgrove, and Jeannie Coates. And we're looking for Carol Yarrow, Keith Tellum, and Lawrence Erickson now.
Okay. Yeah, there's a bit of a delay, so we can wait a minute. And Carla, if we have people in the overflow rooms, it looks like we still have some space upstairs. I don't know if they're limiting the number upstairs. Yeah, let's read three more names and see if we can get some folks. We'll accommodate people as they come in.
Kevin Cosgrove here. Let's come on.
There's
up.
Kevin. Come on up. Kevin.
Jeannie Coates.
Very good. Hi, Jeannie.
And about Stephen Cafori. He's coming down.
Great. I see Stephen. Okay, good. Why don't you go ahead and start? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. My name is Jeannie Coates. I've lived in the Pearl for a little over 4 years, and I want you to notice I have no notes with me. I don't need to go through a litany of points because I think that my predecessors have all done a wonderful job of that, but I wanted to speak to you from the heart. I was born here in 1951 at Good Samaritan Hospital. I have lived virtually my entire life here, and I love it. I love our views, our mountains, our bridges, our waterway. All of that is very special to me. I even remember when they floated the Fremont Bridge down the river and up into place. Very special memory. So I want to call upon you to look out for what is right for the city of Portland. Use your vision. Use your power. Let's get this project redirected and back on track.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Kevin Cosgrove. I've lived here since 1980. Like many of the people who've testified, I came here because of the attractions of a city which has an international reputation. It also has a reputation for its planning and its care about the process to approve certain projects. I'm going to focus, having heard many of the people talk today, on the specifics of the way that this building was approved, the process that was gone through, the fact that it's been testified here today that there were certain, if you like, short circuits that would appear to have been taken in order to get this project underway. And I would ask you, each of you, as the stewards of this city's reputation, the stewards of this city's heritage, to pay close attention to the facts in the way that your attorney has pointed out, that this isn't about the emotion of people saying, where's my view of a bridge? This is about people saying, not only where's my view of a bridge, but how did that apartment building get to the point where it could be approved in the way that it has been? So, in my opinion, you, and the man on the phone have an enormous amount of history to look at and an enormous amount of legacy to take into account.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is Stephen Cafori. I do live in the Pearl, but I live in the southern portion, and as my view is to the south, I have no individual interest in this appeal. However, as a citizen of the city, I have a huge interest in the outcome. For decades, I have been involved with and supportive of the planning process that has made this one of the most livable cities in the world. This proposal flies in the face of all that planning. I agree, along with the citizens here today, that although height and density are desirable, we all live in high-rise buildings, and many of us in the Pearl, after all. This project is the wrong size in the wrong place. This city made a huge mistake on the east end of the Burnside Bridge, allowing what one commissioner has called an eyesore. Please don't make another one on the other side of the river.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you.
Thank you.
Next three, please, Carla. Okay.
Was there a Lawrence Erickson? Okay. Then the next three will be Jeffrey Cash, Jill Rizzi, and Claudia Cosgrove.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and start, okay, sir?
So I'm Jeffrey Cash. I'm a resident of the Pearl, and I want to speak again. I mean, people have said most of what I want to say, so I just want to recognize a couple of points. I want to specifically point out that the developer received a variance, and that's what we're really at the issue of what we're talking about today, is whether those variances should have properly been granted to build a building that, in particular, that I want to talk about is the encroachment on the greenway. You know, in some places it's as narrow as 13 feet now and 25 feet maximum, and the developer was essentially given 30 feet to develop, which belonged to the public. And I simply look at the plans for future development in Portland, which I generally support, and I know that we're going to see more and more people in the urban core of Portland, more and more people living there, more and more people coming in for the afternoon or the evening. We need more parkland. Why should we give a variance to a developer that gives away parkland that we already own? You know, many years ago, I think someone else mentioned it, the Tom McCall Park was wharves and all kinds of things, and then a road or a freeway was going to be put through there, and people had the foresight to say, no, that land is far too valuable for those uses. We need to hold it for the public. Why would we give away other land in an area that we know we're going to be having more people in? So that's my question, and I might want to comment, and I want to thank you for your attention to all the people who came today. Thank you.
Very good. And just one interesting historical point. The city actually went farther than that. It was the Harbor Freeway, and we reclaimed that as a green space. That's not part of this hearing, but just as an historical point of note.
Thank you.
Next three, Carla.
Okay. Our Jerry Mars, Christian Maynard, and John Hollister.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. My name is Jerry Mars. I live in the Pearl, and I just have a few things to say. The Fremont Apartments is asking for modifications to their building, with two being significant deviations to the building structure. Those are encroaching on a 45-degree river setback that was mentioned earlier, and also increasing the depth of their building from 200 feet to over 230 feet. So a five-story building is going to tower within a couple feet of the greenway to build a restaurant. When did we start trading off our green space along the riverfront for restaurants? I have not heard a valid reason why these modifications make this a better project. And also, the Fremont Apartments will be the first in three building sites to be developed on the Pearl waterfront since Waterfront Pearl. The Fremont Apartments will set the stage for this redevelopment and therefore needs to follow city regulations, which are based upon a joint neighborhood, landowner, and city land use planning effort. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Christian Maynard Phillip. I'll keep this short and sweet.
Can you get just a little closer to me?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
You can move it towards you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Chris.
My name is Christian Maynard Phillip. I work and I'm a homeowner, in the Pearl. I'm also the Pearl District Neighborhood Association treasurer. I speak on behalf of myself, not on behalf of the PDNA. I am here to represent the next generation of Portlanders that will make their homes and build their businesses in the Pearl. I urge you to carefully consider our very legitimate grievances as well as a legacy of this decision.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is John Hollister, and the plan was to have us be a team, like a 9-minute team. So I wanted to, you know, they both used less than a minute and a half each. So I'm asking a little too late, I think. But I ain't going to make a...
If we adopted that rule, we'd be having people speak forever, and our rule is 3 minutes per person.
That makes sense. I understand. Okay, here we go. My name is John Hollister, PDNA board member, Planning and Transportation Committee. But today I'm speaking as an individual. I met all of you last March 29th, the day of the famous lockdown, and then met you again on June 14th, and at the Pearl East appeal. And Mayor, you said, as you said today, that your decisions today are constrained in approval criteria and in their interpretation. And you also were concerned why I was alone. I'm not alone today. Okay, so how do I get slide one going? Okay, the Design Commission's been busy. And and there's I have tremendous respect for these volunteers. And there's just so much work. There's no way they can spend as much time on every issue as someone like me might on a single issue. So I think that they've done a good job, but there's just too much to cover. And I think the same thing for staff. I think Ben has done a wonderful job as well. Okay, as it's been said here, this building is much more than about the view, but the view is pretty iconic. I am the only one that testified about the view corridor. This is not about the view corridor today, but you can see that with proper notification or with better communication from me, we would have had more people talking about that. I'm going to go through these very quickly. How do you correct a problem? How do you correct a mistake once it's been made? Here is an aerial where for orientation, it's somewhat in the middle there is the parking lot where the project is going to be going. And to the far right are the two towers of Waterfront Pearl. The rest of my presentation, 41 seconds, will focus on the precedents mentioned. The precedents referred to simply are not, don't match up. The Waterfront Pearl, this is a water feature. The water feature in this proposed project is, and I read it again today, it is a storm drain and the Willamette. Here are some pictures of the different view corridors with the openness of the Pearl or of the waterfront. Bridgetown Labs, this is a greenway, 50-foot greenway. They got extra feet, but it's a 50-foot greenway, not 25. So this is the view there. And when you take all these into consideration, the amenities that were given for those extra types of things are very significant. And when all of them just went for one of the major ones, these went for both and another and another. I'm in sales, and if I can get in seven things, I'll get seven things, and I'll almost think that I didn't ask for enough. But that's what they did, and I'm done.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, all three of you. Next three, please.
I believe that was all who was on the list. Did anybody sign up who didn't hear their name?
So, Mayor, while we're bringing other people forward, can I ask legal counsel a question?
Just come on up if you signed up and you didn't hear your name.
If you've signed up, please come on up. Please come on up. Thank you. Sure. Commissioner Fish.
So I want to ask our counsel a question. You know, a number of months ago, we took up a major reform effort around boards and commissions. And one of the components of that effort was we wanted to encourage minority reports and some mechanism for minority reports to come to council so we get the benefit of split decisions. We've had a number of people testify today that Julie Livingston, the chair of design review, was in the minority in a decision below, has perhaps authored some opinion on this project, but it's not part of the materials that are in my packet. So I guess I have two questions. One is, what is the normal procedure for us to have the benefit of a dissenting opinion if someone presents it? And how does that information come to us? Because it's a little odd to have it filtered through people testifying in favor of the appeal. With all due respect, it's not the equivalent of actually having the report that Julie has apparently authored. So what are your thoughts on that?
So first of all, generally speaking, I won't give you a legal opinion on first impression in a large public setting because I haven't had a chance to think through this, and I've not been the one primarily involved in the boards and commissions, but it's my understanding.